Amen. So we've read from Luke a fishing story, which in some ways is similar to the kind of fishing story we often hear in summer. You know, the kind, the fish I caught was this big. But here it's the amount of fish that is huge. The story begins with a group of professional fishermen who come up empty after fishing all night. That surely would not have been good for business. And then this carpenter-cum-preacher arrives on the beach with a crowd of followers, and he commandeers one of their boats while the fishermen are still on the shore cleaning their nets. And this man, Jesus, gets into one of the boats. He goes a little bit out from shore, and from there he preaches to the people gathered on the beach. It's an interesting way to be able to speak effectively to a crowd. We see that Jesus is just as happy teaching from a boat as from a chair in the synagogue, as we read last week. When Jesus is done teaching the people, he turns back to the fishermen and he challenges them. He says, go back out, fish. Telling the fishermen who have spent their lives knowing these waters and the ways of the fish there, where the fish actually are. I'm not surprised the fishermen are reluctant. They've already done their best, done what they thought would be most effective, gone to the places that they thought most likely to produce a catch. And here is Jesus, whom we can assume has already had some contact with these guys, telling them to go out again. Tired and ready to go home to bed, he thinks they should try again. And after some reluctance, they listen and they head back out to the deep waters. And the catch is huge, massively abundant. They need backup to collect the fish. And still the catch nearly sinks their boats. So in this story, we get a glimpse of why some people might not catch what they're seeking for themselves or for others. Luke is using fishing as a metaphor for discipleship, making followers of Jesus, both of our others and ourselves. Why do we so often come up empty-handed? This story offers a few possible reasons. Firstly, some people don't catch fish because they refuse to go into the deep water. Jesus told Simon to leave the shallows and go into the deep. We don't get what we seek because we're not willing to take the risk of going deeper. The things we seek to have an abundance of requires us to go to deep places. Shallow water is pleasant. It tickles our ankles when we walk in it. You can see the bottom in the shallow water. But deep water, that takes faith and courage. Deep water is risky. The visibility isn't so good. You have to trust the words and directions of others who have also passed through deep water. Jesus is always inviting people to deeper things. Staying in shallow water is often a temptation, but that's where we begin the adventure, not where we finish. Deep water is where we have to go to get what God really has for us. A second reason some people don't catch fish is because they don't expect to catch fish, and so they're not prepared. When Jesus tells Simon, let's go to the deep water, he doesn't stop there. He says, prepare for a catch. Are we willing to risk expecting something? To risk the disappointment of no fish, but be prepared anyway? Jesus keeps pushing Simon's boundaries. Leave the shore, Simon. Go into the deep, Simon. And even be prepared for something to happen, Simon. Some people don't catch fish because they don't go into the deep water. Some people don't catch fish because they don't expect to and are not prepared. The third reason is that we often think because we've tried already, we don't need to try again. If we failed once, why might it be any different next time? To go out yet again where nothing has happened yet, it's tempting to give up. We've already tried that. It won't work. You know the argument, it's all too common in churches today. And there's a fourth reason too. Some people don't catch fish because they think they know more about fish than God. Simon almost made that mistake. He tells Jesus in that exasperated tone, hey, we've been fishing all night. We know fish. And we can be like that. We hear God's instructions, forgive a whole lot more, Bless those who curse you. Give abundantly. Love your enemy. But we often think we know better, and we count, and we retaliate, and we hold back. Somehow we forget that God is God and how big God really is. But back to the story. We read that the fishermen find incredible success. They had gone back out to the deep waters, prepared to make a catch because they believed Jesus did know better. And we read of full boats, a great load of fish to prepare to sell, presumably the following day. This would surely help their business. Imagine what they were thinking as they hauled in those fish. I wonder if they'd started to imagine what they might spend the extra money on. But that's not what happens. Instead, Jesus calls them and they leave it all behind to follow him. Luke is inviting us to see that this call of Jesus to make disciples is big too, that there are a whole lot of fish to catch. And remembering what we know about Luke, we're being introduced to that idea of the breadth of these fishermen would now be called to reach out to. Just as they would not only have fished for one type of fish, they would soon be reaching a wide breadth of people beyond what they currently could comprehend. And it's interesting that Luke tells us Simon's response to all these amazing events. It's not what I would have imagined at all. But to all that miraculous display of abundance, Simon falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And that took me back to Isaiah. When he saw how amazingly huge God was, he had a similar response. He said, "Woe is me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." I hadn't really thought about what Isaiah meant when he said that until this week. But he was saying that the words he spoke were not clean, dirty talk. So I find it interesting to see the way God responds to that. In my school days, I remember a teacher dealing with a boy in my class who swore by washing his mouth out with soap. Perhaps this response is God's pre-soap days, a live coal to the mouth. What I find even more interesting, though, is that in both these situations, with Isaiah and with Simon, when these men are acknowledging their own sin, I assume the next step would be to speak of forgiveness in order to move forward. And it kind of is with Isaiah, but it's not with Simon. It's not the way God chooses to go. Instead, God calls Simon to action. And to Isaiah. To Isaiah, God says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." And Isaiah was sent out to the people to a task that is going to achieve little. He's sent to preach to a people who won't listen. And when Isaiah asks how long he's got to do it for, God says, "Until all my people are in exile, only then do you get to share good news." And to Simon, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, from now on you'll be catching people." And when they got to shore, they left their boats and everything and followed Jesus. As these men saw the bigness, the abundance, the amazingness of God, they acknowledged their own sinfulness. And God responds with calling them to a task. And more than that, calling them to a whole new way of living. Sin can be to do with all sorts of things. It's not always about guilt that requires someone hearing that they're forgiven or being told to sin no more. Sin is ultimately about brokenness, which can be healed in a range of ways. Here, the brokenness is being responded to with a call to follow Jesus, a call to leave behind one way of life and take on another. A call to be willing to keep going out to the deep, but in a whole new way. A call to fish for people. Often we use our brokenness as an excuse to not follow Jesus. But it's no such thing. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has something of value in building the kingdom. Being broken, being a sinner, that's no excuse to following the call of Jesus. Remember, Luke wants us to understand that all people are called, even those who think they are too sinful to follow. Luke is making sure that we understand that Jesus didn't only call the nice people. Even from the beginning, Jesus was extending a call to holiness beyond the previously held boundaries. Simon says, "I can't be with you because of my sinfulness." And Jesus says, "Follow me." Are we willing to be like Simon? Amidst all our questions and frustrations and emptiness, to still be willing to say, yes, Lord, because you are God, I will go back to the places I thought I knew, reach out again in your love, because that's when the miracle of full nets happen. That's when we are being called to a new way of living. So be it. Amen.